Today, we're chatting about the most common type of identity theft, mobile number porting or SIM swapping. It's already happened more than 8,000 times this year in Australia. So what is it and how can you prevent it from happening to you? We've called in an expert to break it down for us. Dr. John Selby is an expert on cybersecurity, a lecturer with the Macquarie Business School. Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us. Let's start off by actually asking, what is unauthorized mobile porting, SIM swapping?
So unauthorized mobile phone porting is an exploitation of by criminals of a system that was built for good reasons. The competition between mobile phone companies was something the government has been trying to promote for a long time. And each mobile phone account holder has a physical SIM, that little chip that you put into your phone, and that connects an identifier for your mobile phone number to the physical mobile phone that you've got. And you can, if you buy a new phone, you can take the SIM out and put it into the new phone and continue to use the same phone number. If you want to swap from one telecommunications company, say Telstra to Optus, for example, then you need to have the connection of the number transferred across from that one company to another. And there has to be a process for shifting or swapping the SIM from one company to another, but still connecting it to you and your device. So to promote competition, the government made it a requirement for that to be an easy process. The consequence, though, of not recognizing how criminals might exploit it was that criminals have been using that process by impersonating Australians so that they can get your phone number and your SIM swapped across to a mobile phone that they control. And they use that to help them to facilitate identity theft and financial fraud.
Wow, that's quite incredible. I mean, everyone has swapped SIMs from another network one time or another. And I guess when I do think about it, it isn't exactly... What do? They just ask for your date of birth and...
Traditionally, they just ask for your name, your date of birth. Many of those bits of information people put up on Facebook, on social media,
yeah.
Or they put up on the internet, or there's data leaks, there's breaches from other businesses where that data is leaked, etc. So the consequence of this has been that there's been a significant rise in the rate at which Australians have had their identities stolen. And the danger in particular is that when you use your mobile phone, you don't just use it to surf the internet or to make phone calls. Typically, many people will do things like online banking, and or they'll do it on their computer, and they'll use a method of securing their services like their bank accounts through a system called two-factor authentication by SMS. And the criminals particularly like to exploit the SIM swapping process because then if you have, for example, a Trojan software program installed on your computer and they can get your username and password off the computer, they still need the SMS code to log into the bank account to impersonate you. So as part of a broader strategy of identity theft and financial fraud, SIM swapping is one of the steps that's commonly done because then it unlocks the ability for criminals to empty your bank account.
I really want to talk about that double authentication or that SIM, the SMS authentication, because lots of companies use it. I mean, MyGov, you get the code, banks, Google, your Google Drive or email, you often get that SMS authentication. And I was speaking earlier in the show that I always thought that was pretty secure. I mean, who else is going to get access to it unless they have your phone in your hand? So now I'm learning that's completely wrong. How secure is SMS authentication?
Okay, so you have to treat an SMS authentication as like someone sending you that PIN code on a postcard through the mail, where
right.
Anyone who was working at the postal service or any postal delivery person or anyone who opened your mailbox could look at the code and see it, because SMS messages are sent in plain text. They're not encrypted. They're not verified, etc. And anyone who gets access to the mobile phone network, and more sophisticated cyber criminals have been doing this through an attack on what's called the SS7. It's a control network for the mobile phone operating system. And all SMS messages are visible in plain text to anyone who gets access to that as well.
So how can we make it more secure for ourselves? And I also wanted to ask there, how can we do it when it's like companies? Like if you're talking like Google or banks, you can't exactly change their authentication.
So this has been one of the challenges, that the convenience of SMS as a method of two-factor authentication has driven its widespread adoption. Low cost, almost everyone has a mobile phone capable of receiving SMSs. So that's one of the reasons why it has been so popular. And part of the work we've been doing with our Antiport project is to try to help businesses to recognize that that convenience factor is not necessarily secure enough today. So a variety of other two-factor authentication methods are possible. Some of them involve your mobile phone. So you see things like Google Authenticator or the Authy app. So these are applications you install on your mobile phone, and those, if you have internet access through your mobile phone, can be used to do two-factor authentication in an encrypted and secure way that doesn't use SMS. So you still get a code to your phone, but it's not sent via SMS.
Right, okay.
So that's one option. Another option you might see with some banks is they give you a physical token, which has a code generator within it, and that randomly updates every minute or so, and you have to log in. Again, it's not as convenient as an SMS, but it's much more secure. And this is the challenge for businesses to recognize the relative risk has changed, and that SMS is, whilst convenient, not necessarily sufficiently secure enough today for high-value transactions or accounts where there might be large amounts of money in them, or they might be used as a means to get valuable information.
So for someone listening at the moment who's thinking, okay, SMS authentication isn't as secure as I thought it would be, what you're saying there is look for a second authentication but not sent via SMS.
If that's possible, yes. Or talk to your supplier and ask them, do they have alternatives? Another thing you can do is to contact your telecommunications company and to your mobile phone provider and ask them to put a PIN on your account, so that if you ever contact them or anyone who attempts to impersonate you contacts them, they have to supply that code before they can verify themselves.
That's a great idea. Thank you so much, John, for joining us and talking us through something that I've never thought about myself, but I think it's really worthwhile for us all to look into.
My pleasure.